grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've been on sort of a kick lately with doing songs and music and things like that for sermons. We're not going to do that. I thought it was time for a change. But I got to thinking, you know, today there are so many things in our readings today, but what I'm picking up is thank the Lord for the most part. So we're going to look at that. Although it would be great for, I love this in the epistle lesson, and I'm sorry I forgot to put your epistle lesson in the bulletin, so you had to listen. But faith comes from hearing. But to the Jews I came a Jew in order to be with the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under a law, that I might win those under the law. If you could follow that, you're doing pretty well. But it's one of those things in Scripture, what it boils down to is, he was talking to the Jews. And when they're under the law, that means they're still following the law of Moses and the 513 laws to salvation. But, in terms of thankful, in this time period, remember, we've been talking about the Great Thanksgiving, the Eucharist. Eucharist means to be thankful, right? We're going to talk about that. One of the things about Eucharist is that it's a verb, all right? Now, when we're talking about a verb, we're talking about an action, right? Anytime we have an action in the church, what is it? Law or gospel? Law. Even if it's in the gospel. Think about that for a second. So what is the verb? Why is it law? Well, to be thankful is an action. Whatever we do, remember, is law. Whatever we receive is gospel. And I like this because in the Oxford Dictionary it says, usage, I thank, I give thanks, I pass. I sing. Think about that for a second. I thought that was interesting. And I receive things with thanks. Now, I went on Strong. Strong is the Greek dictionary that pastors and everybody uses because it's the one that's our definitive dictionary. And Strong's Eucharisto has a couple things. First of all, you. In Greek, you is good. Charis. Remember, I've been talking about a little bit of charis, is grace. So grace is good. In other words, it actually should be translated as God's grace works well. So if we are going to take his glory and give thanks, literally, we're thankful for God's good grace. Now here we are back to that word charis again. And remember, charis is also not only the word for grace, but it's also the basis for the word Christ. So Christ, charis, everything goes back to grace. Grace alone. It's one of those things when we start tearing things apart, you know, it's important. So we are thankful for God's good grace. So, does it mean more than just the elements of the Lord's Supper? More than the elements of the Eucharist? Of course it does. So, here's what I pulled out of our readings for today I thought was important. Old Testament. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Gee, don't hold back. How do you really feel? You know, Isaiah's telling us right there, we're talking about grace. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. And from our psalm, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to God on the lyre. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love. Here we are back on thanks again. Grace. See how it's all tying together. And in our epistle, it's all about the gospel. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we are an imperishable. I found that was really interesting. The wreath that we receive is perishable, but we are imperishable. Why? Because we're in God's grace. And finally, and in our gospel, and immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them. I don't know about you, but that last line sort of gets to me a little bit. What does she do? She serves them, even though she just got out of a sickbed. Different time and place, isn't it? But what's Philippians 4 say? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You really understand grace? No. And that's the thing. I mean, we talk about the Eucharist, which is the Lord's Supper, and it's the act of thanksgiving, but yet, if God's grace is active here, isn't it? And what's that definition again? We're thankful for God's good, Eucharist grace, Eucharist. We're thankful for God's good grace. But yet, what keeps us from receiving this grace? What keeps us from giving thanks? I mean, all those things I read to you out of the scriptures have to deal with giving thanks, right? Well, first of all, the members of his church. How many of you have been treated badly in a church? All of us should raise our hands on that one. But is it God that did it to you? No, it's idiots in the church. You notice what I said, it's pretty strong, isn't it? It's the idiots. But you know, when people act like that, it's because Satan has gained a foothold in the church. And here's the thing, where else would you expect to see Satan but where you would actually develop people who are studying to serve the Lord? The more effective we are, the more we're going to see Satan. One of the things that happened this week, I got totally surprised at Old D.M. Bev in the Bible study. I got a call to Trinity Lutheran Church in Golden, Illinois this week. Not a letter of intent or a letter of interest, I got a call. Well, that's nice, but I have no interest in going, and my name's not on a call list. But the LCMC gave them my name and said, if you want a pastor, this is who you need. Big church. And so I called Peggy. And you know, we're happy here. Why wouldn't we want to go? And so sometimes I wonder, is that from God or is it from Satan trying to destroy what we've already started here? Think about that for a second. We have just gotten things turned around. Things are going well here. We're teaching. People are enjoying. And so I'm supposed to leave. I don't know if this one's from the Holy Spirit. You know, our problem, I think, is that we expect people to be perfect around us, and we expect to be perfect. But if we were perfect, would we actually need to be here to hear God's word? No. And here's the thing, is being perfect a good thing? No. Yeah, one of the things I used to do when I was teaching school when you study something, it takes five times through it before you really need it. And if you take 20% each time, 20, 40, 60, 80, then you get it. Okay? So you gotta study it like five different times. All right, so if you're studying and you get 51%, are you doing good or are you doing badly? You're doing good. Think about that for a second, because you're doing better. But you see, we're trained that we're not happy. I don't know how many times I was, especially on the college level, somebody got like a 97 or 98 and they're upset. Well, I wasn't perfect. So? I used to take it, especially when you're dealing with musicians. All right, so you're playing a symphony. And if you're playing a symphony, you might have 10,000 notes in the symphony. You miss one. All right, so you got 9,999 notes correct, and you missed one. What is that, 0.001%? Oh, I meant that after a picture of it in a second. Oh, man, what did I do that? Not, I got 9,999 notes right. But we got one wrong. But yet we do that to ourselves all the time, don't we? You know, we're not perfect enough. So you're bothered by a 51% success rate? You know, so when we run across a group of people that are not practicing the Lord's grace or the Lord's word, we blame all of them for the one person. Stop and think about that. That's not good either, is it? Or we generally blame God because he allowed it to happen. Hey, listen, an idiot is an idiot is an idiot. Could I be a little more clear about that? But something we all see. Now listen, I'm going to share something that I did that I'm not happy with. Went to a church in Zona City, New Mexico. We had moved to Silver City, and my ex-wife and I were both Lutheran, so we went to Messiah Lutheran Church, LCMS. Small church, even smaller than we are, okay? Mission congregation. And, of course, good Lutherans, they were going to have a potluck. So we went downstairs, and we tried to help with the potluck, and this old lady comes up. I said, old lady, maybe in her 70s, this time was 20 years ago. Right now, we all resemble that remark, so with that. And she says, we don't set stuff out this way. We do it this way. Okay. Well, we'll make sure that we don't help again. And we never went back. So we went, one idiot take the entire church away from us. Who was wrong in that case? Both of us. Okay. We took her because she wasn't perfect. And we didn't go back. But isn't that the case? Aren't we all sinners? Aren't we all imperfect? You know, look at what Paul said about the law. I mean, you listen to the epistle lesson, it's all law, isn't it? What's the purpose of the law? What's the catechism say? First of all, it's a curb to trip over. Okay, it's reminding us, hey dummy, hey idiot, you screwed up. Here I'm back using that word again, aren't I? Then what's the next thing? It's the mirror. Because when we look in the mirror, we see we're sinners. Why wouldn't you expect to screw up? Think about that for a second. But you try and keep it to a minimum. And if you screw up, you ask for forgiveness. And remember, when you ask for forgiveness, if the person is forgiven that you ask it from, and they don't let forgiveness flow out of them, they're not forgiven. The word is, Luther says, you have to be a conduit. So when that grace, we have some visitors today, so let me explain this. When we look at the cross, okay, up part, side part, gospel, what we receive, okay, comes down from heaven to us. What comes out are the side things. So whatever flows here has to flow there. So we receive forgiveness, what do we have to do? Forgive. If we receive grace, what do we have to give? Grace. All right? If we're not that conduit, are we Christians? No. And I think sometimes that's hard for all of us. We are not perfect. By God's good grace, by God's help, we're getting better. Church is not a place for the healthy, it's a hospital for the sick. Never heard me say that before, ever. But isn't it? We're coming here because we want to get better. And because we are here, we are getting better. And I think that's that blessing of God's good grace in our lives. We are thankful for God's good grace. You know, so what happens is, I think most of the time, I hate these words, would, should, and could. Well, if he would only do that. He should do that. Why didn't he? Those are not good words. Those are words of the flesh. Those are not words of the Spirit of God. And so whenever you start to feel would, should, or could, are you in the spirit or are you in the flesh? We're in the flesh. Okay? And folks, we all do it. Especially if you have kids, right? My dad always, you know, that philosopher, but he always said, it's better remain silent, hear wise, than open one's mouth and remove all doubts. And I always thought he was quoting Abraham Lincoln. Then I found out later, it's in the Bible, it's in Proverbs. Okay? You know, it's one of those things, folks, if we could keep our mouths shut, we would be ahead of the game. But my friends, that's why we're here, to receive God's good grace into our lives and be thankful for God's good grace that is with us. When you go to the Lord's table today, not only share in the means of grace, but ask for forgiveness. Because when you come to the Lord's table, it is an act of forgiveness. How many of you knew that? Outside of Pastor Connor. Yeah, I don't see any hands going up. It's probably one of the greatest acts of forgiveness there is. And stop and think, what do we start our services with? What's the first thing we do? Confession and absolution. So we start with that, and we end with that. The two legs that our worship is based on. Aren't we so thankful that God doesn't judge us like that? Is he happy with us when we're 51%? Yep. Is he happier with us when we're 52%? Yep. But as Christians, we need to grow, don't we? But when we're growing in the grace, the place that we give thanks for his grace in our lives. May the gospel of his grace keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.